The Bible reading this morning is from Mark chapter 4, and actually we're reading from the Message version this morning. Okay. The story of the scattered seed. He went back to teaching by the sea. A crowd built up to such a great size that he had to get into an offshore boat, using the boat as a pulpit, as the people pushed towards the water's edge. He taught by using stories, many stories. Listen, what do you make of this? A farmer planted seed. As he scattered the seed, some of it fell on the road and birds ate it. Some fell in the gravel. It sprouted quickly but didn't put down roots. So when the sun came up, it withered just as quickly. Some fell in the weeds. As it came up, it was strangled among the weeds and nothing came of it. Some fell on good earth and came up with a flourish, producing a harvest exceeding his wildest dreams. Are you listening to this? Really listening? When they were off by themselves, those who were close to him, along with the 12, asked about the stories. He told them, "You've been given insight into God's kingdom. You know how it works. But to those who can see it yet, everything comes in stories, creating readiness, nudging them toward receptive insight. These are people whose eyes are open but don't see a thing, whose ears are open but don't understand a word, who avoid making an about face and getting forgiven." He continued, "Do you see how this story works? All my stories work this way. The farmer plants the word. Some people are like the seed that falls on the hardened soil of the road. No sooner do they hear the word than Satan snatches away what has been planted in them. And some are like the seed that lands in the gravel. When they first hear the word, they respond with great enthusiasm. But there is such shallow soil of character that when the emotions wear off and some difficulty arrives, there is nothing to show for it. The seed cast in the weeds represents the ones who hear the kingdom news, but are overwhelmed with worries about all the things they have to do and all the things they want to get. The stress strangles what they heard, and nothing comes of it. But the seed planted in the good earth represents those who hear the word, embrace it, and produce a harvest beyond their wildest dreams." Jesus went on, "Does anyone bring a lamp home and put it under a washtub or beneath the bed? Don't you put it on a table or on the mantle? We're not keeping secrets. We're telling them. We're not hiding things. We're bringing them out into the open." Are you listening to this? Really listening? Listen carefully to what I am saying. And be wary of the shrewd advice that tells you how to get ahead in the world on your own. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. Stinginess impoverishes. Then Jesus said, "God's kingdom is like seed thrown on a field by a man who then goes to bed and forgets about it. The seed sprouts and grows. He has no idea how it happens. The earth does it all without his help. First a green stem of grass, then a bud, then the ripened grain. When the grain is fully formed, he reaps. Harvest time." How can we picture God's kingdom? What kind of story can we use? It's like a pine nut. When it lands on the ground, it is quite small as seeds go. Yet once it's planted, it grows into a huge pine tree with thick branches. Eagles nest in it. With many stories like these, he presented his message to them, fitting the stories to their experience and maturity. He was never without a story when he spoke. When he was alone with his disciples, he went over everything sorting out the tangles and tying the knots. Late that day, he said to them, "Let's go across to the other side." They took him in the boat as he was. Other boats came along. A huge storm came up. Waves poured into the boat, threatening to sink it. And Jesus was in the stern, head on a pillow, sleeping. They roused him, saying, "Teacher, is it nothing to you that we're going to drown?" Awake now, he told the wind to pipe down and said to the sea, "Quiet, settle down." The wind ran out of breath. The sea became smooth as glass. Jesus reprimanded the disciples, "Why are you such cowards? Don't you have any faith at all?" They were in absolute awe, staggered. "Who is this anyway?" they asked. "Wind and sea at his beck and call." Amen.
So there is loads in this passage that we could look at, but we're just going to look at two or three things. Otherwise we'd be here all day and you'd probably leave me stood here by myself. So we will keep to two or three points. I don't know if you saw there what Sue did at the start, but I want you to remember this yourselves as well. Slippers, all right. These are not my slippers, Martin. These are Sue's. These are my slippers. A little bit more well-worn than Sue's are. But the point was, why do we put our slippers right under the chair in our bedroom or the bed last thing at night? And we'll answer that right at the end, and hopefully you will take that away with you. So we're looking at Mark. The book of Mark, it's this fast-paced steam train of a gospel that once it gets going, it gets up ahead of steam, and if you're not careful, you will miss it. Mark is continually informing us about what Jesus did, probably more so than about what he said. It's a doing gospel. So right when we started this, right at the start of the year, Mark looked at the baptism of Jesus. Remember, we had the lovely baptismal service for Kirsty and George. And we focused on, "You are my son," what God said to Jesus. "You are my son whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." And as I said in the first service, that was the first clue that God had northern blood in him. When he said, "I am well pleased," because that's what we say in the Northeast. And God is well pleased with all of you. Well pleased. You are special. And then we looked at the three P's the next week, still in the same chapter. The three P's obviously were, because you all listened to what Steve says. Oh no, you don't. So what were the three P's? Power. Oh. Give that girl a golden star. Power, priority, and prayer. Yeah. And the importance of spending time with God. Putting God first. We'll see a little bit of that in the DVD that I'll show a little bit later on. Then we moved on to Mark chapter 2, where Julie talked about the healing of the paralyzed man who was lowered through the roof. And Julie said, if you take nothing else away from that sermon, take away the fact that you put new wine in new wineskins, absolutely. And then Mark 3, Steve brought out how Jesus chose to confront, had a choice, and he chose to confront the Pharisees. We mentioned how Jesus is the opposite of indifference, how Jesus regularly broke with tradition, and how Jesus does people over programs. Does people over programs. So today we're just going to very briefly look really at soil and seeds. But you will notice at the end of this chapter that the storm comes. Maybe that's why it's so important that we get the soil right at the start, because the storm does come. The storm does come in all of our lives. That is a fact. But before we do that, most of you here will be going through the Bible course. If you're not, it's a great course. I'd recommend that you do it sometime. But I was really taken right at the start of that course when we looked in the book of Genesis and by what God said to Adam and Eve when they had eaten from the tree. And he said to them, "Where are you?" We've moved on in the Bible course into Exodus, where Moses has been with the burning bush, and again God has been there for Moses, and this time Moses says, "Here I am. Here I am." So my question, where are you? Are you here? Can you say to God, "Here I am"? When he puts all of your Christian names, where are you? John, Madeline, Wendy. Can you say, "Here I am"? Think about that. So, soil and this parable. Don't you find God is amazing? I have so little expectation. And really, that's a weakness in me, because I should expect God to do things. You know, those prayers this morning from Peter and from Suzanne, I know we're looking at the parable of the sower, but really I don't really need to speak, because if you'd listened to the prayers, you'd have got the message. And we need to be expectant. That's a seed that we need to sow, a seed of expectancy about what God's going to do in your life and in the life in Rutland, building his kingdom here in Rutland. We're part of that. We want to be part of it, don't we? Yeah, we do. We want to be part of it. So in this chapter, the first thing I just want to bring your attention to when we look at the soil here is these words, listen. Are you listening? Really listening? I don't know about you, but sometimes you can be speaking to people and you know when they're not listening. I can be absolutely talking to somebody in the face. Sometimes it's my wife, I have to admit. And I know it's not gone in. It's gone right over the top. You know, do remember to leave me. You never told me that. I did. So we need to listen. Really listen. You know, we had a word brought to the church by Kate about the potter and about yielding. In America, if you drive around in America, they have loads of stop signs. But in lots of places, they have yield. It is written, yield. That means give way. Give way to God. Let God give him some space, time in your lives. We're not very good at listening. And perhaps if we listened better, we'd be more fruitful. Because in that parable, the least of the fruit was 30 times. If everybody here, the potential that is here, brought fruit of 30 times, imagine what this place would start to look like, Rutland. But potential, as someone said, is nothing more other than something that hasn't been used. Potential is nothing more than something that hasn't been used. So having potential is one thing. Using it is another, as we try to sow seeds. This is an important year. I think everybody would agree that we sense that, don't we, in the church here. It's going to be an important year. So it's really important that we get the roots and we get the soil, the foundation right in our lives. Because storms will come. Storms will come. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. We want God's word to take root in good soil. Our foundations need to be solid. So how do we get good soil in our lives? What prevents us having good soil? The Bible talks about worries, about the fears of this world. It talks about Satan snatching the word from us, away from us. But what does that look like today? What does that look like in your life? What about distractions? You know, we laughed earlier on. Steve's got a new app on his phone. When we were doing the Bible reading, the audio came on it without him pressing anything. What a distraction that was. And all you could see was Steve going, you know, we're easily distracted in this world. I am. But not only that, we have this thing called FOMO as well, fear of missing out. And what that means sometimes to me is I keep my options open. So here's a bugbear of mine, and it's a big bugbear of mine. When people are talking about doing things, Why do people always these days say, well, I should be there. I might be there. I think I'll be able to do that. What does that mean? Are you going to be there or are you not going to be there? We're afraid to commit. We used to say, I'll be there, God willing. That old-fashioned term, I'll be there. That meant, unless he takes me tomorrow, I'll be there. So why can't we just commit and be there? Maybe if we did, the soil would get tilled a bit more, a bit better. So that's one thing, a lack of consistency or commitment. They're rare attributes today. What about bitterness? Does that stop your soil being good? What about a lack of forgiveness? I just can't forgive that person. That will prevent your soil being good. That will prevent you taking in God's word. What about taking offense? Anybody here easily offended? You know? Have you ever been offended? And when the person has offended you, maybe it's unintentionally, you stop listening to that person, don't you? Because all you can think of is the offense. The people who were most offended by Jesus' teaching were the Pharisees. They were easily offended. What? Healing on the Sabbath? You've offended me. They couldn't recognize Jesus because they were offended. We need to guard against being easily offended. I don't know. We do get offended at times. What about busyness? Doing a lot more doesn't necessarily mean you are accomplishing more. Don't confuse movement with progress. You can be running on the spot and getting nowhere. And sometimes we fill our lives up with so much busyness that actually we think we've got no time, but actually we're not really doing anything either. We're just doing this, that and the other. I love it when Steve says, a new idea or whatever in the church, and Steve, I can quote you on this, he will say, what is the aim? It's a great question. Because there's wonderful ideas out there, wonderful dreams. But if we don't know what the goal is, we've got to be really careful with that. That's really good to get us to think, why are we doing this? Could be to build up relationships, something simple. I'm not saying it can't be those things. But we're kingdom builders. We're not church builders, we're kingdom builders. That's what the message of Jesus. Jesus didn't talk about bringing in a new style of church. He talked about building the kingdom. So don't confuse movement with progress. So what creates good soil then? If there are things that don't help our soil, what creates good soil? So I'm launching today the iPhone 10. This is Apple's new iPhone 10. It's an unusual sort of app. You have to write in it. It has dates. It has appointments. And this is my iPhone 10. I'm lost without this. I know lots of you will be lost without your phone, but I'm lost without this. I've left it a couple of times at work on a flight deck. It's flown off to India without me, but somebody's brought it home for me because I need this. It has my life in it. But the point that I want to make with this is I'm in the simulator in a couple of weeks' time. Now, every 6 months, I go in the simulator and I have to do these tests, 2 days' worth of tests. If I don't pass the tests, I don't fly. For those of you who don't know, I'm a pilot, so I wouldn't fly. I'd have my license taken away from me. It would be easy for me just to go, right, well, I'll leave that. 2 weeks today. 2 weeks today, I'll be briefing in a simulator. So it would be easy for me to leave it till the Saturday before and go, oh, I better have a look at the books. Check I know what I'm doing. Brush up on it. But I don't. I, from now, will be planning what work I've got to do such that when I go into the simulator, I may be nervous, but I'm ready. We don't plan to fail. We fail to plan. So consistency is really important. The other analogy with that would be gardening. Sue and I hate gardening. We are not gardeners, right? We're not good in it. Normally ends up in a bit of a domestic argument over what plant goes where. I normally pull up what I think is a weed and it's a plant, and then you can imagine all what goes on. But our big problem is we don't like doing it. So we go, everyone else's gardens look lovely. We better do some gardening. Right, this Saturday, so we'll put it in the diary. You're gardening with me. And we'll have a blitz on the garden. But the problem is, within a week or so, the weeds have come back up. Because all we've done is really turn over the top of the soil. We haven't dug it over. We haven't put the nutrients into the soil. We haven't created the good soil. We're just rushing around. We need discipline. Discipline and the word disciple both come from the word discipulus, a Latin word which means pupil. Somebody once said, you can't be a disciple without discipline. A definition of a disciple is a person who believes in Jesus and seeks to follow him in his or her daily life. That requires discipline. The Bible course has been great for that. Really, really good for that. Because at the end of the day, you do the week course and there are 6 readings. How many people are managing to do the 6 readings every day? So that by the 7th day, you're coming back for next week's Bible course. It requires a discipline, doesn't it? And we all find that hard. But the point is, people say, you do something 7 times, it becomes a habit. It becomes natural. So if we're disciplined, if we actually go, no, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. I know I could rush off with this. I know there's that. I'm going to yield. I'm going to give way. And then we'll start to sow seeds. It's not rocket science. You know, becoming a disciple of Christ requires all of these and more disciplines. It needs to become second nature to us, to making sure our soil is good and rich. No stones or thorns. The root of God's word is deep, deep within us, ready to sow seeds. Meeting Jesus is one thing. Being introduced to Jesus is one thing. But getting to really know him is another thing. You won't get that overnight. You know, for many of you here, we've only been here back in OBC 18 months, something like that. And there's still people here I don't know. Still people here who don't know me. Relationships, getting to know people, takes time. And it takes investment. Sacrifice of other things. That's how the word spreads. By what we model. It's so important what we model. And if we're not disciplined, how can we expect other people to be disciplined? We were amazed. I said this in the first service. At the behavior of the Alpha course. Because people just came every week. And they'd send an apology when they couldn't come and say, I'm so sorry, I can't make it. Blew me away, really. And a lot of those people were people who don't go to church. We need to model that consistency and that discipline if we're to have good soil. Good, rich soil that will bear fruit 30, 60, 100 times. The greatest football manager in the world, oh, Martin looked up, is not Pep Guardiola. It is Bobby Robson, obviously, the Newcastle United manager who died a number of years ago. He said this, you have to love the game more than the prize. Because without the game, there is no prize. You have to love the game more than the prize. Because without the game, there is no prize. What does that mean? You have to love Jesus more than life itself. Because without Jesus, there is no life. He brings life in all its fullness. Our behavior and the seeds we sow will flow from our relationship and our belief in Jesus. So seeds, what sort of seeds do we sow and where do we sow them? Here's a few we probably don't want to sow. How about gossip? The seed of gossip. And by the way, that's not just the person who is speaking the gossip, it's the person who's listening to it. It's all gossip. Sometimes it's hard to actually say, I don't need to know that. You know, we all like a bit of gossip, don't we? Gossip, not a good seed. Discouraging remarks or body language. You know, I can sit and look at you here, and if I look at you all and gaze my eyes around, there's not many frowns. A few people looking a bit blurry-eyed, but there's not many. But if they were all deadpan faces, I'm going to go, you know, I'm speaking to the frozen chosen. You know, dear me, lighten up a bit, melt up a bit. It's good news. It's good news. So, you know, our body language, how we appear and speak to people, these are seeds that can be really knock people down. What about complaining all the time? People like to complain. That's not the way I like it done. You know, it's not a good seed. Bitterness, resentment. Well, you can try that if you want, but I don't think it'll work. We've tried that one before. You know, our young people, you know, in this church, when they all go out, I think every week people go, you know, what we model is what we'll get. So it's really, really important that we as a church model this. And it requires hard work, real hard work. You'll see that in the DVD in a bit when I play that. Truth becomes hard if it is not softened with love. But love becomes soft if it is not strengthened with truth. We need that. So what can we sow? Well, it's the opposites in many ways, isn't it? What we've just been saying. It's encouragement. It's friendship. It's investing in one another and our gifts. It's time. Investing time. And that's hard, isn't it? The other week, Sue talked about, I think it was in the service, where this lady who she'd met outside on the street in Mill Street, and she'd managed to help this lady. But that's a sacrifice, because you immediately go, oh no, I've got this, that and the other and so on, but this person needs me now. You know, again, you can be speaking to people and they say they're giving you their time, but they're not. They're giving you their presence. Their head somewhere else. Actually listening to people is hard work sometimes. But it's really important that we do that. The Christian story must have authenticity and humility at its roots, deep down. Otherwise it is easily pulled up and thrown away. We've got to be real, relational, encouraging, accountable. Laughter. We've got to smile. It takes a lot more effort to frown than it does to smile. It's a lot better for you to smile. But what about the fruit of the Spirit? You know, you can sum up good seeds really in the fruit of the Spirit. So, you good people out there, because like that, you'll reel off the 9 fruits of the Spirit. I've given you a clue. There's 9. So, what would they be? Those who are in the first service, you don't get to answer. Those of you with any theological background don't get to answer. We don't want to embarrass you in case you don't know it. So what are the 9 fruits of the Spirit? Come on then. Love. Joy, peace, we're getting a little bit muddled at the end, aren't we? We can always get love, joy, peace. You have a go at the second 3, Sue. So love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. So what is the last one in the Bible? Self-control. A lady on the Alpha course, around the table, when we were looking at the fruit of the Spirit, said, self-control. We don't think of self-control, do we? Self-control. If I could control my frustrations sometimes with Sue, and vice versa, I have to say, we'd have a much better conversation sometimes. But we find self-control hard. You did what? You know, self-control. It's a really good seed to sow. And it's very important. Here is a great saying that you've probably heard before. But this is true. We take the Bible as sort of second nature to us. Most people outside of these doors never open a Bible. Wouldn't even think of it. They never open a Bible. So, You might be the only piece of the Bible that someone ever reads. You might be the only piece of the Bible someone ever reads. That has a huge bearing on the seeds we sow. If it's bitterness, that's what they think they've read. You might be, it's powerful stuff, isn't it? So let us not, Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good and sowing seeds, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Really exciting times. Can we have the next slide, please? Thanks, Michael. So this is a picture of a very professional working environment. You can recognize the guy on the left-hand side. This is the new, it's BA's 100th anniversary this year. Did you know that? Well, you do now. And this is the new uniform caps that we're wearing for it. This was Christmas Eve, flying back from America. It's halfway across the Atlantic. You're all tucked up in your beds, and I'm working. Oh, right. Beyond the flight deck, it says. Why do I mention that? I mention it because beyond the flight deck was a massive program that BA did, where they put all of their pilots through it, and they said, and it took a lot to get this past the accountants who are here, because they said they couldn't measure the benefit of it. But one of the guys in BA said, I believe the potential to increase the goodness of our job and role is massive. The problem is, it's all in the flight deck from a pilot perspective. We need to get the pilots out of the flight deck. It's hard because we have locked pilot flight deck doors these days. But through the airport, when you say goodbye to people, when you say hello to people, people wanted to engage with these people that were locked behind the doors. But they couldn't unless we got out of the doors, went outside. So if you change that from beyond the flight deck to beyond the church, that will require time, effort, discipline, sacrifice. But you know, it's very important, these things that we're going to do, that we know what the goals of all that is. But you know, you might be the only piece of the Bible that somebody ever reads. If we tend our soil and are available to God, we will sow seeds of amazing potential. And God's Holy Spirit will water them. If you want to empower Christians, don't give them a rule book. Give them the Holy Spirit. If you want to empower Christians, don't give them the rule book. Give them the Holy Spirit. So we're going to show a DVD now. Once Mike can bring it up. We have to stop this halfway through, because we haven't got time to watch it all, and you don't need to watch it all. But watch this. This sums up what I've been seeing.
Number one. Put God first. Put God first in everything you do. Everything that you think you see in me, everything that I've accomplished, everything that you think I have, and I have a few things. Everything that I have is by the grace of God. Understand that. It's a gift. 40 years ago, March 27th, 1975, it was 40 years ago, just this past March, I was flunking out of college. I had a 1.7 grade point average. I hope none of you can relate. I had a 1.7 grade point average. I was sitting in my mother's beauty shop. They still call it beauty shop now? What they call it now? Yeah, I was sitting in the beauty parlor. I was sitting in my mother's beauty parlor, and I'm looking in the mirror, and I see behind me this woman under the dryer. And every time she looked up, every time I looked up, she was looking at me, just looking me in the eye. And I didn't know who she was, and I said, you know, she said, somebody give me a pen, give me a pencil, I have a prophecy. March 27, 1975, she said, boy, you are going to travel the world and speak to millions of people. Now, mind you, I was flunked out of college. I'm thinking about joining the army. I didn't know what I was going to do, and she's telling me I'm going to travel the world and speak to millions of people. Well, I have traveled the world, and I have spoke to millions of people. But that's not the most important thing, the success that I had. The most important thing is that what she taught me and what she told me that day has stayed with me since. I've been protected. I've been directed. I've been corrected. I've kept God in my life and has kept me humble. I didn't always stick with him, but he always stuck with me. So stick with him in everything you do. If you think you want to do what you think I've done, then do what I've done and stick with God. Number two, fail big. That's right. Fail big. Today's the beginning of the rest of your life, and it can be very frightening. It's a new world out there. It's a mean world out there, and you only live once. So do what you feel passionate about. Take chances professionally. Don't be afraid to fail. There's an old IQ test was 9 dots, and you had to draw 5 lines with a pencil within these 9 dots without lifting the pencil. The only way to do it was to go outside the box. So don't be afraid to go outside the box. Don't be afraid to think outside the box. Don't be afraid to fail big, to dream big. But remember, dreams without goals are just dreams, and they ultimately fuel disappointment. So have dreams, but have goals, life goals, yearly goals, monthly goals, daily goals. I try to give myself a goal every day. Sometimes it's just to not curse somebody out. Simple goals, but have goals. And understand that to achieve these goals, you must apply discipline and consistency. In order to achieve your goals, you must apply discipline, which you have already done, and consistency every day, not just on Tuesday and miss a few days. You have to work at it every day. You have to plan every day. You've heard the saying, we don't plan to fail, we fail to plan. Hard work works. Working really hard is what successful people do. And in this text, tweet, twerk world that you've grown up in, remember, just because you're doing a lot more doesn't mean you're getting a lot more done. Remember that. Just because you're doing a lot more doesn't mean you're getting a lot more done. Don't confuse movement with progress. My mother told me, she said, yeah, because you can run in place all the time and never get anywhere. So continue to strive, continue to have goals, continue to progress. Number three, you'll never see a U-Haul behind a hearse.
Little truck. Okay. It's a great inspirational DVD, that, which you can, if you speak to me, I can send you the link for it. So if our soil and our hearts are right, if God's word and spirit has taken root in us, then we can be serious about sowing seeds for the kingdom. It says in Mark 4 verse 11, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. What is this kingdom? Well, perhaps it's this. It's where we yield, give way to the sovereignty of God, to the grace of God, to the forgiveness of God through his son Jesus. The kingdom is our reconciliation with the Father. It is our alignment of our will, and this is our choice, with his will. Where the wills come together, the kingdom reigns within us. Where are you? Here I am. So I'm going to ask the band to come up now, to sing. Just before we do, Sue will do this for the kids, maybe when they come in a bit later. Why do we tuck our slippers so far under our bed? It means that when you get up in the morning, you have to get down on your knees to get your slippers out from under the bed. And that starts the soil right, what we model, where we thank God for the day that is to come. Imagine that if we were all doing that in this busy, chaotic world that we live in. If tomorrow morning, Monday morning, you've all tucked your slippers right under the bed, so I could say wholeheartedly that 150 people between the two services are on their knees praying for God's kingdom in Roland. Be expectant. Things will happen. The choice is yours. So let's sing.